Welcome to Battle Ready, the show that equips you with the mindset and tools to face life and work with courage and resilience. I'm your host, Ricky Chavez, and today we're diving into how to stay strong and adaptable in time of change. Joining us is Erica Butler, CEO of HIHR LLC, who brings Fortune 100 HR experience to small and mid-sized organizations. She's also certified in DISC coach. So we're going to talk about that because my test was crazy. Specialized in intercultural intelligence, helping diverse teams work together more effectively with their experience, and she empowers leaders to learn and navigate transition. Transition is pretty crazy out there. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you, Ricky. I'm excited to be here speaking with you today.
So, transition and all the challenges out there. Tell me a little about some of the experiences you've had.
Yeah, so I have just seen I've seen a lot to this point in my career, and I've seen people leave, quit, have mental breakdowns, the stress is unbearable, and burnout. I've seen a lot. And that's why I love that we're talking about this, because I really believe it doesn't have to be that way. And there's things that you can do as a leader, as a team, to get to the other side in a much better place.
So why do you think people are actually organizations struggle with leading people through change?
Sure. So we actually do a leadership training around change management. And in it, we talk about McKinsey and Company because they're really, I've learned a lot from them over the years. And they say 70% of all transitions are likely to fail. And the reason that is because there's a lack of employee engagement. The leaders might not be committed to it, or the organization did not prepare for how irrational and chaotic the human behavior could actually be in big changes. And those are the
No,
three main things. And there's a lot behind that. But those are the three.
I totally understand that. I know when I was in HR, I used to teach all the classes, and I used to tell them, you don't know what happened to that person before they took the left or the right into the parking lot. So people not being able to deal with people is kind of a hard thing. And then you put change into the picture, then it gets even harder. So what can leaders do to communicate change in a way that feels less scary and more supportive?
Sure. So if people know what's coming more, people feel better. I think the uncertainty is the scary part. And, will I have a job, or what will things be like after this, this, and this? And I think so if they don't have regular communication set up more than normal, could be weekly, could be a communication board, so people know as much information as possible up front. And then also regular feedback. How is the team feeling? What are they struggling with? Focus groups, a survey, check-ins, like up the communication. The more you can do that, the better. And then the support is really important. Training and support. Those few things make a huge difference.
I know that, I was with FedEx, and now FedEx is going through all their changes. They are actually, they just, FedEx Ground and FedEx Express are combining, and they're in an uproar pretty crazy right now because a lot of people don't know the uncertainty of where their career is going based on everything being double heavy. How do you keep people motivated when everything around them feels just so uncertain?
I think it's really important for leaders to be very vulnerable and honest and go through it with the team. So it's not like us versus them, do it as a team. And then, believe it or not, I actually think scheduling some team builds, some extra recognition programs, add some fun and celebration for the wins, because obviously there's good things coming after the transition. There's reasons we're doing it. And I think the more we can celebrate the wins and do some positive things to recognize the team going through this hard thing is going to really help.
You said team building.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about some of the team building that you guys have helped set up or encountered that really helps.
Sure. It could be as small as going out for bowling one night and treating everyone to a meal and bowling and just having fun
Okay.
together, getting out of the chaos for a bit. Or we do the DISC. That's an example. So since you brought up DISC, it's just an amazing team building program where people learn each other's communication better and work better together in and out of change. So in change, it's actually a really good program to do.
So it's easy to be able to communicate with somebody when they understand what their style is.
Yes, you learn your style and you learn other styles and what motivates them, what stresses them, why they react a certain way, and you can actually address it and kind of meet people where they're at much more effectively.
So what role does empathy play in guiding teams through big transitions?
I would say it's half the battle. I think being empathetic, especially of what's being lost. Earlier in my career, I didn't always ask that question. So I know what's being gained on the other side, but what are employees actually losing? And understanding that part and being empathetic about it and compassionate and talking with them about it and trying to give solutions in those areas that are being lost. That's a game changer when you can learn how to do that.
So I'll tell you, I was with a team building company when I was with FedEx, and I remember bringing all these vice presidents from HP and from all over the world to do a team building. We were small groups of 12, and in my group specific, we had 11 vice presidents and one admin. All right, and we did this thing called diminishing resources, and in diminishing resources, it was just basic. We gave them some swatches of rug put on the ground, and their goal was to keep everybody off the ground for 3 seconds. And they did a little group get together meeting, talked about it, and then they said, so we gave them nine, there's 12 of them, and how are they going to get off the ground for 3 seconds? And the admin said, hey, well, just let's everybody hold hands, and on the count of three, everybody jump in the air and count to three. Nobody listened, so they went through it. And then we had been doing this for an hour now. She had said it like two or three times. There's like four swatches left. They're tired of crawling all over each other. Try to do it safely, right? And then finally, one of the other vice presidents heard her say it. Then he said it. They did exactly what she said. And at the end of the AR, when we talked it through, is you never know where the solutions come from. So when you were talking about communicating, it's really important to find the important people out there that can communicate. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Leadership's not just about titles and going through change. Who are the main influencers of a team? They might have no leadership title, but they are a leader and people listen to them. So getting them on board early is going to help everybody else and help the leadership. I love that example you shared. That's powerful.
It was funny because I talked to her probably a year later, and she's like, I'm like, how's it going? She goes, I shouldn't have never said anything because now everybody calls me all the time. So now she became really important. And she was an amazing person. But at the end, every other task we had after that, everybody kind of looked at her like, what are your thoughts? What are you going to say? So it's pretty cool. Now, if a team is already burned out from too much change, how do you help them reset and move forward with fresh energy?
Yeah, so I think what I've seen work the most is creativity and rallying around the creativity of change. Because in change, there comes in the chaos, there is new opportunities for people to step up, get new roles, maybe. There's just this whole season of solving and creativity and getting them excited about that and pulling, no matter their level, people into that early can really re-energize people about the impact they're making, the purpose they're having. And also, maybe they need some summer Fridays, or they just need a season with an extra break, an extra coffee break to rejuvenate. Little things like that can really be a win for teams to get to the other side of these massive changes.
No, I totally agree that. And I know you said earlier about the check-ins. I think check-ins are really important. What are your thoughts, more specific on check-ins with the team?
I think it's imperative. I think if you're not doing it, you have no clue where people stand and you won't be able to really address things and you'll miss out on that genius admin. Like you said, you'll miss out on those genius
Oh my
ideas.
gosh, yeah.
You can't get to the other side.
Well, you know,
They're
I
in
think it's
it. They're in
sometimes
it.
it's getting in the check-ins, they get feedback, right? But they
Yes.
have to be receptive to feedback, right?
Yeah, leaders
How's
aren't
that a
receptive.
struggle?
Oh yeah, it can be a huge struggle. If a leader isn't listening, then employees aren't going to share. But I think if you as a leadership team make it a priority to go after feedback from employees and becomes a regular thing, employees will see, hey, they really care. And then you have to do the thing. What's the action plan? What did you actually do from that? And keep doing it. Amazing things happen. That's a simple thing people can do. And if you show up and have action as a leader, people will start talking a lot more, like that admin.
No, and I think that's right. And I think the great thing that you said earlier was the fact that they don't have to have a title. You have those people out there that may not want a title, but everybody looks up to them, right? You
And
got to find out who those people are. And sometimes when the leader's not in touch with that, that's kind of scary.
absolutely. And you can learn that through getting feedback and getting focus groups and making sure you have that data coming through your team. They'll tell you, and you'll watch it too happen on the team.
So what's one of your favorite experiences that you've had when you've went into a company and helped them move through change?
One of my most favorite is I was working for a Fortune 100 and I got to be the HR leader for a team that was somewhat newly acquired. And they were in the chaos cycle. They were really feeling stressed. They didn't know how they related to the larger company. And I was able to come in and work with the leaders. We first actually trained them. We got everyone change training. So they knew the chaos they were in, they understood it was normal. And we gave them space to work through it with us. And then we even did like a change management book for people just to give them tools to help them get to the other side. And then we connected them to the company, all the good things that they now had tuition reimbursement. They now had these amazing learning management systems, like all the good things that were exciting about this transition, even though they were at first scared. And that was just really wonderful to be part of and see them go through the chaos cycle and get all the way to the other side with support, with connection, with communication. That was really rewarding because they were a really, really happy team after that happened at the end.
Obviously, you guys did a great job of kind of curing the what's in it for them, and the uncertainty of the new organization. I'm assuming that must have been very very good for you,
I
seeing that
believe it was
happen.
meaningful because the employees had access to the training and the book and stuff, not just leaders. We pulled everyone. Everyone got to go through it together. And I think that meant a lot to people. I
Where
heard it
the
did.
where did everybody have feedback in to put in the book, or how did you guys put that together?
Yeah, so we gave it as an option, but I know like 40 people joined outside of the leadership team, which that's significant to have that many employees sign up to volunteer their time to do this extra opportunity. But then we actually had a full day training for them that was like, company sponsored, and they got to go through the whole training all day and talk about it
Nice.
with focus groups. Everyone went through a focus group. We were really aggressive with their feedback and what they lost and what they were going to gain and how to get to the other side and how normal it is. How normal that chaos cycle is. Everyone feels it. We're human. And when they know they're not alone, they're not the only ones feeling like this, it gets a lot easier.
Well, we're going to talk more about chaos and how we transition when we come back right from this commercial. Welcome back to Battle Ready. If you're loving what you're watching, don't miss a moment of Battle Ready or any other favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming, both in English and Spanish. If you prefer to listen on the go, you can catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV or the website www.nowmediatv.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. Now I'm here with Erica Butler, and in this segment, we're going to tackle an issue every business owner and leader worries about: how to keep people or good people when everyone seems to be leaving. That's kind of a big one for us, isn't it? What do you think,
Big
Erica?
topic, important big topic. So I'm happy we're talking about it today.
So what is one of the biggest challenges, or how do organizations realize that they're losing all these people, and why?
Well, organizations hopefully are keeping track and have metrics around their turnover. So I think they'll notice pretty quickly if they see an uptick of their turnover percentage.
Sure. So what else do they do?
What else do they do
Yeah.
when
I mean, I see the
oh
metrics, but if they're trying to figure
yeah
out why people are leaving, what are some of the things they do? And I apologize, I
oh
could
when
should have been
they
more
oh sorry, I
specific.
thought you said how do they know? Yeah, so how people what they do is they are having likely toxic managers in place that aren't treating people well. That's the top reason people leave. They likely are not providing a career path for people or good communication around what's available. Likely people don't feel valued, and also a big reason people leave is around that their life balance is not working for them. So it's not working for their life. They don't have a harmony between their job demands and what they need to do the rest of their life. Those are the main reasons people are leaving.
I know that one of the things that we implemented back when was doing the exit interviews. We'd even try to find people after they left just to find out, hey, can you take a few minutes and go through this with us, just so we can get a better feel. It was kind of an opportunity for them to let go of everything they wanted to, and us to kind of reevaluate where we were at. What do you think about those exit interviews?
I think they are so important. It's amazing the information you gain that you can very quickly turn around and solve some of these things for other team members who are probably experiencing the same challenges. So I think everyone should be doing them if they're not.
What are some non-financial ways organizations can keep people loyal and happy?
Sure. So as simple as it sounds, it's very powerful. If leaders aren't walking the floor, aren't spending quality time with the team, showing they actually care that, oh, Bobby had a baseball game. How did it go? Whatever it is, just show you actually care about the person. It's not just about, yeah, get these results for me. That matters to people. They feel connected to their leader more and to the company. Also, making sure you do have some flexibility options in place. That's a real winner for companies, and it's low cost or no cost, and it can really attract great talent and keep people. And then also recognition programs matter a lot to people. When they feel recognized, when they feel valued, they typically don't leave organizations where they feel that way. So those are a few important things companies can do that don't cost anything.
So how can leaders show employees that they're valued without it just being empty words?
I think it comes down to consistency. So it's consistently walking on the floor, consistently showing up, consistently listening and showing you care. And another piece is actually around accountability, which might surprise some people. But when you have somebody that's a good employee coming to work every day and they're sitting next to someone who's late or has a really bad attitude and is just difficult to work with, and you're not addressing that as a leader, you're not showing your team that you care that much about the success of the team. You have to hold those individuals accountable. You have to have the hard conversations. No one else is going to do it. So that's a way you can actually show people you care about them. You give them a good culture and a good team to work with.
You said something in the question before that I really liked, and you said walking the floor and actually when you're engaging the employees, know something about them. And that was kind of my hardest transition when I left the military, because in the military, when I left, I had so many people. I knew how old their kids were. I know their anniversaries. I knew their birthdays. I mean, and that was a responsibility of how we were taught as leaders in the military. Then I transitioned into the civilian world, and they were like, hey, personal here, professional here. And now it seems like it's coming back whole circle to its whole family concept, because you got to make sure everything's good at home so it can be good at work and vice versa. What are your thoughts?
I definitely see that. And I think there was a big push for, keep personal and professional separate, but then you can't bring your whole self to work. You can't truly be yourself at work because you are your personal life. You are your personal decisions. So I think there has been a switch back to allowing people to just fully be themselves and caring about who they are as a person. And I think the reason was favoritism. There was concerns that there's going to be favoritism if we're showing that we have these different relationships, but doesn't have to be that way. You can still have great relationships with everyone on the team and be your genuine self as a leader and show them you genuinely care about them and their lives as well.
I think one of the points you made earlier about the guy that comes to work all the time and the guy that's kind of haphazard, and showing the consistency of accountability. I think people want to be accountable, right? And both good, bad, and ugly. And people can't get better unless they know where their challenges are, or we call it opportunities, not messing up, but they're all opportunities, right? That was the big HR word I always learned.
I
There's
use
no
that.
failure, it's just an opportunity, right?
I'd love to hear a story about that actually, because in one of the trainings I did, we had a leader that said, "I don't want to hold my team accountable like that. I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want them to see me as a bad guy or like I'm all over them." But it's actually loving and kind, and it's actually doing your job well and taking great care of the team to have those hard conversations. And you're right, it's also for the person who does probably want to be held accountable. Maybe they won't like it, but if someone does want to be there, they need feedback, honest feedback, because otherwise it's lying. If you're saying they're doing good when they're actually not, that's not treating someone with respect. That's not good character of a leader. So I told that leader, yeah, no, you're not the bad guy. You're the good guy when you're the one having these tough conversations and getting people to the other side.
Yeah, I remember those conversations with the leaders. It was kind of, I look back on it now and I laugh because I think about how I talked on the floor and how I talked in my office to a one-on-one with my managers. It was It was very different. I was very kind of old school military, definitely not as professional as you probably, because I would be all over the place. But I think that the accountability, some people have been held accountable and never been able to rise to their best potential because they weren't held accountable. And I think once that person realized that it's going to help them get better, that made it made a difference for the person and the company. What do you thought about that?
I completely agree with you. And it's the leaders that truly are invested in care that put themselves in those awful positions having those conversations. I don't like having them. Nobody likes having them. Who does? It's not
No.
fun. So I think someone on the other side of that should know it's truly because we care about you and we want to see you be successful here. That is truly the reason, because it's not fun for anybody in this room. And on the flip side, when I got feedback over the years, I knew those people giving me critical feedback. Most of them were truly to help me thrive, to help me, because they believed in me and they were willing to discomfort themselves to care for me in that way. And actually, they're some of my closest friends to this day because they were willing to do that. That's real relationship. That's real high trust relationship. So I think we need to lean into that more.
Yeah, I totally do, because you got to separate the personal from professional in this aspect. The conversations aren't personal until they say, Erica, you're this, Erica, you're that. It's your actions that they're talking about, not you as a person, right?
Yeah, and there's way to do it, like you're talking about, in a positive, uplifting way, what we see in the future. You don't have to belittle someone. It's not about hand slapping, belittling, nothing like that. It's actually because you want them to be successful.
What about self-realization from the person receiving? What guidance, what would you tell that person? You know, a lot of people, I can tell them they stink, but unless they think they stink, it doesn't matter.
Yes, I've seen all types of responses in these conversations. Sometimes people get it and they're all in and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you for telling me. What can we do? What's the next step? And other times people say, I'm the best employee here. What are you talking about? So it's all about then having a good process in place and you're prepared. We don't just have these hard discussions on a whim. We come with, information with data to show them when you did this, this is the consequence for the team or whatever it is, to help them understand what the issue is and help them understand it to get to the other side of it. So I think having details and data is really powerful in these discussions.
Okay, we're going to flip for a little bit. What role does a career growth and development play in retention?
Oh, huge, huge. So I know I've seen thousands and thousands of surveys at this point. It is always on there, top four, top four. I've never seen a survey that's not on career development. People want to know where they're headed. If a company is doing a good job giving them opportunities, career paths, training, development, and they see their potential at a company, it's hard for them to leave that. If they're people that want to grow, it matters a lot. It matters a lot to many, many employees. So it's a big focus. It should be for all companies.
I totally agree with that. And if someone is watching, has a small business, is a small business owner and worried about losing their team, what's the first step they can take to start keeping people?
If they're seeing good people leave, I would say get help as soon as possible because that's a lot for a leader. It could even be hurtful. They might take it personally, especially, the small business. Because they're leaving you, kind of. It's your business, right? If it's a small business owner. So I would call a mentor, call a friend you trust that's good in business. If you have a network, call them, call an HR firm to help you so you're not in it alone. That's number one. And then number two would be data. Get the data. Like you said earlier, Ricky, the exit interviews. Have monthly focus groups. Go out and talk to the team. What's going on, guys? Or guys and girls, I'm missing something. What am I missing? And get it from them so you can start fixing it as soon as possible. Because if people are leaving that quickly, or if you notice that there is a challenge for employees, there's something that needs to be fixed for them. And you need to find out what it is as soon as possible so you can address it.
We're going to talk a little bit more about change when we get back right back from this commercial. We're here with Erica. Welcome back to Battle Ready. I'm your host, Ricky Chavez, and I'm here with Erica Butler. In this segment, we're going to dig into conflict at work, something that often feels heavy and personal, but doesn't have to be. But before we do that, if you're a small organization or an HR professional that wants some coaching, Erica, how will we get a hold of you?
Sure. The best way is we have a website at gohire.com. Can send in a comment. We'll definitely get back. Also, LinkedIn's a great way, and it's HIHR at LinkedIn. Just you can find us there, and we'll definitely get back quickly and love to help you out.
All right. So digging into conflict at work. Wow, there's so many personalities going on at work all the time, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely. So tell me, why do you think conflict at work feels so personal and heavy for so many people?
Well, first off, most people spend more time at work than they do with their own families. So many times we're spending a lot of time in our jobs and a lot of time invested into what we're doing. I also think many people, I see them take pride in their work. They want to do a good job. They want to have purpose in their life and contribute something of value. And a lot of people get that from their careers and their jobs. So that's why it's so
personal.
So
what are some of the help? Sorry?
That's why it's so personal. That's why it matters so much to them when there is conflict.
Pays their bills, right?
Yeah, that too.
What are some of the healthy ways to approach conflict without making things worse?
Absolutely. So I'll share some neuroscience I learned over a decade ago that works so well. And it's actually around a positive way of approaching conflict versus negative way. If you're doing it in a way that's like gossip or belittling, or just there's a lot of ways that belittle and make the brain go into stress mode, anxiety mode. That's not going to get anything resolved. But if you can do it in a positive way where you are approaching someone saying, I believe you're coming with good intentions, and you do it in an uplifting way and say what you need to say to resolve the conflict, that is going to activate dopamine and people respond so much better. So there's little tricks and tools as a leader or an employee that you can use how to resolve conflict better, how to communicate better to get to the other side of it. And then I think organizations should not really allow it to exist for a long time. There needs to be accountability around it to address it quickly so people can work in a really nice culture and nice environment.
Is there any ideas that you put out or help organizations with to when maybe something's going on and they know it, but they don't know how to put their pulse on it? Is there any tricks out there to that you coach your organizations to kind of maybe uncover some things?
Yes, it's being aggressive in focus groups. I've learned so many things about conflict that I didn't even know were happening. I knew things were wrong, but I didn't know what was going on. And in focus groups, we ask questions around it. And then I always invite people to stay at the end. There are some crazy things I learned from discrimination, real discrimination happening, real harassment, crazy things, just because I listened and asked, and then I stuck around and said, hey, I'm going to stay here for any one-on-one conversations. So you have a confidential, safe environment to share it. And that's when you ask the question and give people a space and listen, you learn so much. And then you have to do investigations after that. So there are processes in place you can have to support leaders, and they don't have to be alone navigating conflict that's going on.
How can leaders set the tone so conflict is resolved respectfully?
I love that. And I think one way is to talk about it often and make it part of the culture. Talk about it in team meetings. Say, in our team, we have trust and we give honest feedback to each other. So welcome employees. If there's something that is maybe someone's too loud on the phone or something, hey, have the honest conversation. We can support each other, work together. And then if that doesn't resolve it, then you can bring in a leader. But I think encouraging everybody to have open communication and welcome feedback, and you role model it as a leader. And then I have seen organizations be able to implement that. And it's a really healthy, beautiful culture, and it is possible.
Well, I know that's not one of the things that you're ready for, so I'm going to throw this at you anyway. So what do you feel is some of the challenges that from the leaders that they give pushback to not really wanting to address conflict or even find out about conflict?
What I have found is definitely fear. because there are tough conversations that have to be had and it's difficult. And I do feel maybe they weren't trained or equipped and they just don't want to deal with it. And it can be really scary because they don't know how to have the conversation and they don't know how to get to the other side. That's what I've seen.
And does your organization provide coaching for leaders so that they can be better equipped to be ready for that?
Yes, we provide coaching and we provide training, helping leaders resolve conflict, have the tough conversations, even performance management, how to go about having the tough performance conversations and giving them tools.
Do you teach them how to listen?
Well, that hopefully comes when they try and see how well it works. But I think also showing them why it matters so much and why it's actually part of their jobs and their responsibility and just why it's such a priority to lead this way, as hard as it is, their jobs will get a lot easier
So, I
on the
know
other
that was a
side.
question. Why does listening play a turning play a role in turning conflict into a chance for growth? But I know that they didn't want to open Pandora's door a lot, and I think that's scary to them.
Oh, they're scared that what people are gonna say. I did a focus group on our team this summer, and they're amazing. Our team is amazing, and we talk all the time about how we can do things better. But I was like, oh, I wonder what they're gonna say. Where are they? Did I miss something important? So even when I've been doing focus groups for 15 years, it is nerve-wracking to have it about you, about the team, about your company, but it's still worth it, and I got such valuable feedback of things I didn't even know that we now are addressing actively. So that I hear you. You're right. I totally agree with that.
And how does that make you feel about it now, since you faced your fear, you hit it head on, and now you got some I guess goals from it, or what happened?
Yeah, I feel a lot closer to, I always felt close to the team, but I think I asked them to not hold back because we're all very close as it is. And I said, listen, my feelings won't be hurt. I need to know we're growing this thing. We're growing together. I need to know the stuff that you feel like it's not a big deal or you don't want to hurt my feelings. So actually, I just feel like there was stuff out of the bag that's good. Like, I'll give you one example. I'm an open book. Some of the team, we have some that it's their main job, some are part-time, but would love to maybe join full-time in the future, possibly. And they are like, I want to see the consistent growth, the consistent year-over-year stability. And that's something it's hard as a consulting business because you have a lot of projects. So we're working now on changing contracts, redoing how our lead gen is. We're actively working on those things because it matters so much to the team. And we're working together to solve some of this. And we were doing it anyway, but it really gave us an extra kick to say, wow. I'll tell you, our leader asked a question, which I love. She said, answer for now, but answer for 3 to 5 years. In 3 to 5 years, what's going to matter to you? And I thought I got so much from that question. That was genius. So those that do focus groups, I would add that one to your list.
No, that's amazing. And I really love the motivation that is showing right now, because I can tell you really like what you do,
I love
and
it.
that's amazing. If someone's in a workplace where conflict is constant, what can they do to protect their peace while still doing their job?
Sure. I'm someone that really feels the room. I'm emotional. I feel it. So if you're like me, I think it will be almost impossible to feel peace truly without addressing it and getting to the other side of it. Even if you're not involved in the conflict, even if it's toxicity spewing around you and negativity and meanness, whatever it is, it really bothers me. And if you're like me, one, I would go to them and be honest and have the conversation. If not, two, get a leader involved and say, this is happening. You're not the only one impacted. I guarantee others are. Three, if nothing is being addressed, I'm looking for another job. That's how big of a deal it is. I think your peace at work, you spend so much time at work, you have, only one life to live here, and you have value. You should be somewhere where you're appreciated and where you're not have to be in an environment like that that's taking your peace. I just won't waste that anymore. I won't do that anymore, and nobody should.
No, I totally agree with that also. It's like I know that in one of the books I read, it says very few people on their dying beds wish they had spent more time at work. So if you're at work, just have a good time, do what you're supposed to do, and watch everybody excel. Because when everybody's high functioning, I see the difference in a high functioning organization versus ones that's kind of hit and miss and bumpy because they're not all engaged. And a lot of it has to do with conflict. So when you come into an organization like
Okay.
that and you've done your focus groups, so what's the next step?
Yeah, so the next step is sit the leadership down and make a plan, and it needs to be addressed immediately. Who is causing the conflict? Were they given the feedback? Are they being held accountable to it? We're not looking the other way anymore.
Okay. So coming up next, we'll close on with how to be truly battle ready in the career. Take charge of your professional journey. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Battle Ready. If you're loving what you're watching, don't miss a moment of Battle Ready or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. And if you prefer to listen on the go, you can catch the podcast version of the show right on Now Media TV at the website www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything else between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready to go whenever you are. Now we're here with Erica Butler on this final segment, and we're talking about what it really means to be battle ready in your career, especially when if you feel stuck and uncertain about your future. Welcome back, Erica.
Thanks for having me, Ricky.
So the challenge for viewers is feeling stuck in their career, uncertain about how to grow and move forward. So what are some things you want to talk to them about?
Sure, this is one of my favorite topics in my life. I am so passionate about career development and what's possible for people. So I just want to dive in and give all the tips and tools I can in this segment to help those that want to grow actually go and do it.
Okay. So why do you think so many people feel stuck at work and unsure what about moving forward?
Sure. We have a training expert. We talk about this. There's myths that many employees can believe that we need to bust. So one is many people think the manager will do it for them, and they're kind of waiting to be asked. That happens, and they don't speak up and say, "I actually want to grow. I want another job. I like this job, but I want to keep being developed." They don't advocate for themselves. Another one is they might not know what to do or where to get training or how to develop. And another one is fear, because they think, well, if I put my neck out and say, I want to do this, what if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? I'm good at this job, but doesn't mean I'm good at the next job. So those are a few reasons I see that can hold individuals back.
So, how can someone take control of their own growth instead of waiting for opportunities to appear?
The first thing is initiative. And communication. If your manager, one over manager, HR, doesn't know that you are wanting to grow your career, they don't know. If you never told them, they don't read your mind. So make sure they know that you have interest in this and ask them actively, what do I need to do to get on this path? What training? Can I have a mentor? What does the company offer? Or what should I do outside the company to go higher to grow? And that's the first thing. The second thing is add value. Do all you can to add value in every conversation you have, in everything you're doing. What can you take off your boss's plate? I'll tell you, that will get noticed pretty quickly. So those are a few things that will move people in the right direction.
You know what, you just said the word mentor. People are sometimes they feel scared to find a mentor or even look for a mentor. How would you tell them to go about doing that?
I would tell them to just think about who is doing what they want to do and ask, reach out and ask. And I have to share this now since you brought it up. I had two individuals that I up to so much before we started our company now, almost 7 years ago. And I just knew I had to reach out to them. They were running their own HR companies. But I'm like, they're not going to want to talk to me. They're not going to spend hours of time with me because I can't even afford to pay them what they would be worth for their time. They both said yes. They both sent me clients. They both shared so much with me. And one unfortunately passed because she's in her 80s now. She would have been in her 80s, but the other I'm still in touch with. And I just was shocked that they were willing to do it. So I think don't assume that someone isn't willing to help. Likely people doing it that are successful really love to repay the favor, because many people help them get where they're at. So ask.
I am a totally 100% behind you on that. I mean, I think that most people like two things. They like to talk about themselves and like to help others. And if you ask them, you're 100% right. I mean, one of the things I learned in the military is we got graded on how we brought people up to our level, right? And that what I found was kind of a struggle out here at the beginning because everybody's afraid. You know, you're going to take my business, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And you just grow so much as a person. And when you see somebody else successful, that's good for you. So when you ask, they were so happy to help you. And I guarantee you, if somebody calls you, are you going to help them?
Ricky, the leaders I'm wanting to promote always and involved with promoting are doing exactly what you talked about. I love that the military does that. Every company should be doing this because the best leaders are the ones promoting from within and building leaders so that they can go and do harder things, that they can grow, they can make a bigger impact. Those companies thrive. So I think if a company is not recognizing people developing others, that's a miss. I love that you said that. I'm a fan of that. So that's
No,
amazing.
it is because people are scared that they're going to take their job. But most of the time, when they found a new position to grow in their own company, the next question was, who's going to take your place? And if you're not grooming that person, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot, right?
And then you know what happens? The team who is getting developed is so engaged. They're performing well. It only makes the leader look good. So they're really shooting themselves in the foot, you could say, when they're doing the opposite of holding information close to their chest, leading out of a place of fear. That is not the way to be successful as a leader.
Not at all. So, what role does networking and building relationships play in creating your career breakthroughs?
For me, it's been shocking how important it has become. And I think we overthink this networking thing. Any job you're in or any relationship you have is part of your network. People that you're helping that can help you and just being good to each other. That's how simple it really is. So I have found I've gotten new clients, new jobs. So many people I see out of their relationships because people trust people they've worked with before or people trust others that they have some type of connection with. So it's really powerful and it's something to pay attention to.
You know, I'm going to throw this at you too. I'm worth a lot of no knowledge, right? But networking, the thing I tell my team, so I have a real estate team now, and I tell them to go to these events, and they're like, I don't want to go to them events. Everybody looks for instant gratification when they go to network. But the reality is, you go to meet people that know people that need to know you. If you go with that mindset and the go giver attitude, have you read the book Go Giver?
No, but I'll put it on my list.
I'm going to tell you, go giver attitude. When you put it out, you get it back. And so that's one of the challenges that a lot of people are. They don't. It's time. Time is important to them, but they don't realize how much time networking will save them in the long run. You mentioned it earlier, right?
I totally agree with you. And when you're going to a network event, you're going to talk to people that can solve a problem you have. Go with, I want to collaborate. I'm trying to do this thing in business or whatever it is. You're looking for solutions. And when you meet others that are looking for solutions like you, your network's going to grow pretty quick. You're not just going to get a promotion, this, that. Yeah, that comes from it. That comes from it. But you're going to ask questions and learn and grow. And you're going to find your people in that. It's amazing how quickly that can happen if you go with the right intentions, put in the
And
work.
you have to go with a goal. And I say this very, because I push my people to network all the time. If there's an hour network, don't spend more than 10 to 15 minutes with each person. You go there to make an appointment, a follow-up appointment, but you got to meet all the people you can meet because then it's not as worthwhile. So if you like go there with like if it's a 60 minute, you talk to six people in 10 minutes a piece. And you know, be kind, be say, listen, I want to schedule lunch or coffee with you. Let's schedule a time and let's go meet somebody else. And people are
And you
scared
know,
to do that because they get stuck with one person. You see that?
I'm glad you brought that up though, because there's a few different types of networking. So what you're saying probably
Oh.
works great for real estate, but maybe in a different business, there's only one or two people that you know are going that you're like, I really want to learn from them. I really want a chance to talk to them. And you know, and then you plan your time to make sure you talk with them. So I've heard it a few different ways. So I think depending on your business or your goals, then it's going to look differently, and that's okay.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying, but I'll tell you this. This goes back to that you're meeting people that need to know you. They know people that need to know you. So you don't know if you're going to the right events for sure. Everybody are kind of the same industry, so you don't know who knows where. So it's always kind of good to meet as many people. Just my thought. And real estate, that was in recruiting also. So how do you encourage people to take risk in their career without fear of failure?
So I have a motto that I've lived since we opened the company from a women's conference I went to, just being fully, vulnerable with that. And they focused on doing it scared. Don't wait, do it scared. Most of us doing any leadership or anything that takes more effort, maybe it's not easy and it's scary sometimes. So I just got into the practice of I want to do this thing. I'm not going to let fear hold me back. Just because I'm scared doesn't mean I shouldn't do it. And you just get better at doing the next hard thing, the next hard thing, the next hard thing. And you look back, it's like, wow, I was scared doing all those things, but I did them and got to the other side. If everyone could just let go of fear as a reason to not do something, they're going to live the life they want, likely. It's really powerful. So if they want a new job or promotion, go have the conversation scared. Even if you think your boss will think it's a joke, doesn't matter. Go have the conversation scared and let's see what happens. You don't know if you don't try.
100%. So if someone's watching and feels hopeless about where they are now, what's the one thing they can do today to start moving towards a brighter career path?
The most important thing is start telling people what you want to do. Start talking about it. Give it life. Give it wings. You'll be shocked how people can come around and rally around you to help you get to your goals. People love helping others get to their goals. So start talking about it with coworkers, with a boss, with a mentor. And that's the number one thing to start doing. It becomes more real, and then you can take real steps towards it.
Erica, this has been incredibly valuable. Where can people follow your work and continue this conversation with you?
Sure. So our Go Hire show is launching with Now Media next week. So you can find us on
Nice.
Yeah, very exciting. Also, our
Congratulations.
website. Thank you. Thank you. Go Hire, GOHIHR.com. Can send a comment, learn more about the company. We're also active on LinkedIn at HIHR, Hire International Human Resources. So come find us. We'd love to collaborate.
Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. You've given us a fresh perspective on change, retention, conflict, and growth, tools that every professional should use to thrive in their career. To our viewers, remember being battle ready means facing challenges head on, not with fear, but with preparation and confidence. Reflect on what you've heard here today and ask yourselves, what's one step you can take this week and become more resilient and ready for the next chapter? I'm Ricky Chavez, and this is Battle Ready on Now Media TV, where we help people prepare for the toughest battles, the brightest breakthroughs. And until next time, stay strong, stay focused, and stay battle ready.